Welcome to It's Your Community with Vanessa Denha, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. I'm Vanessa Denha Garmo here. Livonia resident and award-winning architect Ben Tizio is named the 100th president of the National Veterans Organization, Second Indian Head Division Association, and is here to talk with us about that and so much more. Ben, how are you? And congratulations on this honor.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is quite an honor.
So tell us about the National Veterans Organization, Second Indian Head Division Association. Exactly what is this?
It's a national organization of primarily former 2nd Infantry Division soldiers. And the organization was started in 1919. The division itself was started in 1917 in the First World War. And 2 years after that, they had soldiers that left Europe. They came back to the U.S. and then they started the 2nd Indian Head Division Association. And it's just been a group of military men and women that have served in the 2nd Infantry Division since 1917, actually. We're a group of about 1,500 members. At one time, I think, not too many years after the Korean War, there was, about 8,000 members at one time. But unfortunately, because of our ages, we're losing more and more members. So we're just trying to attract the younger crowd, the vets that served in Iraq and Afghanistan.
So, you know, what does it mean to be named the 100th president? Like, what does this entail? What you'll be doing, your tenure? Give us some details.
Well, we have a reunion every year. We always look forward to it. It's a good way to stay in touch. I mean, Zoom is fine and phone is fine, but there's nothing like giving your fellow warrior a hug or a smack on the back and just chatting about the old days and some of our old experiences. It really means a lot to all of us that are still around. I mean, I'm 77. Yeah. I served in the 2nd ID in Korea in 66 and 67 during what was called the 2nd Korean War. It was a period of about 5 years where there was constant interactions with the North Koreans. They were constantly coming south through the DMZ and raising hell with us. Yeah. So, yeah. But it's a matter of providing leadership, trying to get help. I mean, one of the things that we're going to be working on more intensely is helping our former vets and ID soldiers to get more of their medical benefits. The bureaucracy is just horrendous in the VA, and we've been able to cut through some of that so we can help our vets get the help that they need with their medical situations.
You know, that seems to be an ongoing problem, Ben, and I've talked to several veterans about that and who say that the red tape to get care through the government for our veterans, these men and women who put their lives on the line for us, for our freedom, is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. And I hear some of the stories. I mean, just a few months ago, we got a big thank you from one of our members that had been trying for, I think, 4 or 5 years to get his benefits. And we were able to find the right person for him to talk to. And in a matter of a month or so, he was all set.
Wow. So, Ben, tell us a little bit about your service. Elaborate more for us about your service in the military. Well, where did you serve? What branch of the military? How long did you serve? Tell us about your history in the military.
Yeah.
And thank you for your service.
My pleasure. I was in the Army at 19. I spent my basic training at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And then from there, I transferred to Fort Sill, Oklahoma in artillery. I was referred to as a gun bunny. We manned the artillery. We had the We fired all the guns there. We had the 155s, the 105s, and the 8-inch guns, the big ones. And I was, that was, both of them were 18, I'm sorry, both of them were 10 weeks training. And from there, I went to the 16th Artillery there in Oklahoma. I served there for about 6 months. Then I got orders to go to Korea to the 2nd Infantry Division. I actually left my home in Detroit the day after Thanksgiving and went to Fort Lewis, Washington, and landed at Kimpo Airport in Korea a few days after Thanksgiving. And in the middle of the night, we drove up to Camp Pelham, which was a couple of miles south of the Imjin River, which is also a couple of miles south of the DMZ. And we arrived there in the middle of the night, like I said, and we just welcomed, you know, with open arms by the other soldiers that were there. We were all in the same boat, literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then I served in the, with an artillery battery for a little while, but then somebody must have looked at my records and saw that I was involved in construction, because I was then pulled off the artillery unit and put in charge of construction for the compound. So I was basically the construction sergeant for the compound, and we took care of everything. I had about 22 South Koreans that worked for me, you know, cement masons, electricians, heating people, carpenters, painters. We took care of everything on the compound. And the great bunch of guys, and we went through summers, 110 degrees, a monsoon. In the winter, it got down to 20 below where we were at. And every once in a while, we'd have to take a patrol up to the DMZ to hunt down some of the North Koreans that were spotted coming across the South Tape. Wow. So, and, you know, it was common that, you know, you became used to the hassles, and you'd be driving down the road, as I did every day, because I used to take my men back to their village. And you're always on the lookout for disturbed roadway in front of you, because everything was gravel roads, because they would, the North Koreans would sneak down and they plant road mines. So you have to be careful you don't drive over one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was just something that was in the back of your head. It never really to the forefront, but you always knew it. You always kept an eye out. So yeah. I served 13 months there in Korea. And I actually got home the day before Christmas Eve in 67. So it was a very interesting 2 years. I'm proud to have served, and I'm glad I have served, because it really does teach you your limits, that there are very few limits. And if you want to do something, put your mind to it, you can do it.
So, you know, that's great advice. And, you know, the military does offer a great foundation in terms of structure and discipline that it gives a lot of people. And I'm sure you could speak to that. But we're also seeing a crisis in the country where the United States military has reached an all-time low when it comes to recruitment. And, you know, they're showing that the Gen Zs don't want to join the military. What would you say to that, Ben? What's your thought on that? What would you say to people of why join the military and serve the country?
Yeah, and I don't know exactly why. I know we've talked about this amongst us old timers, and there just doesn't seem to be the loyalty to the country anymore. I mean, we were proud. Now, I have to say, I wasn't even born here. I was born in Italy, and I came when I was 4 years old. So. But I felt a huge amount of patriotism in serving and wanted to serve. Whereas today, it's like, really, people, you don't get it. It's almost as if a lot of these people were spoiled and they don't think they have to do anything, that it's somebody else's job to do. And I don't know. I wish we could figure it out. I know one of the things that we are frustrated with as a veterans organization is how do we attract the younger crowd to join the second ID? And it's a challenge because a lot of people not interested. I've run across a lot of other people that were the 2nd Infantry Division, and they, because I wear my patch on my shoulder,
mm-hmm.
also on my car, and I'll get stopped there once in a while, and we'll chat because we're all fellow warriors. And I ask them, you know, would you like to join? They said, nah, I'm not. I don't have an interest in joining any organizations. I'm trying to forget about it. So, okay. But I don't know, how do we attract the younger generation? They have a different mindset. I know that we're, part of my agenda is to increase the membership in the 2nd Indian Head Division Association. And I think one of the keys is going to try and tap into the social media that the younger generation is accustomed to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Ben, for people listening, we're talking with Ben Tisio. He has been named the 100th president of the National Veterans Organization, 2nd Indian Head Division Association. What would you say the value is for serving time in the military? What do you take away from it?
I mean, for me, I remember my daughter asked me one time, she said, Dad, were you a badass? And I almost laughed. I said, no. But, you know, when you got out of the military, you felt you could take care of whatever came up in life, period.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
And very valuable because, you know, you don't ever want to feel helpless in a situation. So that was one big takeaway for me. And I saw a lot of the other men, too. They were the same way. Too many guys came back from Vietnam, and I served there during the Vietnam. We actually used to train soldiers that were in Vietnam. They would come to Korea to our compound because we had special weapons training there, and they would stay with us for anywhere from a week to 10 days, and they would tell us some real stories. And I can see why they would want to get away from the military and not participate. But later on, when you realize these were your foxhole buddies, you do get involved.
Yeah. So Ben, when you came out of the military, did you go straight into college, or were you in college in the military and become an architect? How did that work?
I went to Cooley High School in Detroit. At the time, I had no plans of going to college.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a construction foreman, and I figured I was going to work construction the rest of my life. And when I got to Cooley High School, I took a drafting class and realized that it was so natural for me. I decided I was going to be an architect. I actually had the instructors pull me aside and say, we want you to double up on classes. We want to teach you a special year of architecture. And we want to see if you can get into Lawrence Tech because they had an architecture program, and which I did. So unfortunately, I didn't have the college prep curriculum in high school. So I took a year of pre-college, and that allowed me to gather all the chemistry and all the other classes that I didn't take in high school until I was qualified. And then that's when I went in the military. I actually went volunteer draft. It was a 2-year program. And then I came back in December of 67 and January 68. I started back at Lawrence Tech as a freshman. And I spent 10 years in night school. My actual last year was day and night school. And I ended up also working. I developed some bad habits. It were called food, clothing, and shelter. So I had to work while I went to college as well. So that's kind of my little history there.
So tell us about your work in architect. In architecture, Ben, you're an award-winning architect. You based out of Livonia. I met you at the Livonia Chamber of Commerce, both sitting on the board. It was a pleasure working with you. But tell us about your work. You've worked on some amazing projects, and you've been in the Southeast Michigan area for a while in Livonia. Tell us about your work as an architect.
Yeah. I graduated, like I said, in 78. In February of 1980, I received my first license as an architect, and I opened my practice in 1980, and I've had my own practice for the 43 years. I still have it today. I'm very active. We're still doing a lot of work today. I'm licensed in 15 states. We've done work in a lot of different states. We tend to have done a lot more in banks and retail. We still do a lot of retail. Banks have not been our forte in the past few years, but we've been very good about finding a niche. Clients come to us because they know that we're good and we're accurate, and they have the least hassles with getting permits with our drawings. Mm-hmm. When I graduated as well, I also started teaching architecture. I was an adjunct professor at Lawrence Tech in architecture for 38 years at Lawrence Tech until 2018. And then I was not teaching anymore. But yes, and I've also been involved in the profession. I sat on the AI Detroit Board of Directors for 20 years and the AI Michigan Board of Directors for 18. So I've been involved in the profession and given back to the community. I've been lucky in life to be fortunate to have been able to accomplish what I have. And it's always time to give it back.
That's a great point. And that leads me to my next question, Ben. I met you, as I said, on the Livonia Chamber of Commerce Board, and you've served on other boards. Why is it important for you to get involved in the community and give back of your time?
One of the things that I learned early on, and I don't know how I came about it, it probably had to do with my father about just getting things done. I've never been one to sit on the sidelines and wait for somebody else to do something. I've always stepped up and said, you know, if I saw something that needed to be fixed or helped, then I would do it. I didn't want to wait for somebody to ask me to do it. And it's kind of why I was pleased when Dan West gave me a call and we had lunch and he asked me to serve on the board. And I gladly did that. And it's given back to the community. People shouldn't have to ask you to do something. It should be a quality that each individual has that knows, just do the right thing. You know, I do things not because I expect people to thank me or recognize me. I do it just because of the right thing to do, period. That's all the education I need.
Yeah, and it does help when you have somebody like a Dan West serving at the helm of a chamber that invites you to sit on the board. I mean, you know, a big reason that I served on that board was for Dan West, you know, because I had such a respect for him, and I've met him many years ago. You know, and that's a great chamber, Ben. Oh, yeah. It's one of the best around. And can you speak to our listeners, too, about the value of connecting and collaborating through networking with other people, the importance of that, especially in the work that you do?
Yes. I mean, what was really interesting is I knew it was some degree of marketing. I didn't realize how important it was until I actually got more involved in the chamber. And I would attend a lot of their functions. And I'm very well known in the Livonia community. People recognize me, everybody from the mayor on down. It's a great promotional venue for me. And it is very good to give back in the community. I know I've done some projects pro bono because I know the people couldn't afford to really pay for it. But it's helped them come to Livonia, get their business started, and they've been very thankful over the years for that. Livonia is a wonderful community. I know my wife and I talk about we were very lucky to move to Livonia in 1994, and it's just been great. It really is a wonderful community to live, work, and play. Both of our kids went through the school system. They're both college engineering graduates from Lawrence Tech, so it's a great place to live, work, and play.
We're talking with Ben Tissio here. He's named the 100th president of the National Veterans Organization, 2nd Indian Head Division Association, having served time in the military, serving our country in the Army. And, you know, Ben, we're coming up on Veterans Day. You know, what would you like to see how we could honor our veterans? What would you like people to do on that day? Typically, we get a day off. The government's closed. This is, you know, You know, what really would you like to see people do to honor veterans in this country?
I think one of the things that is helpful is the recognition, especially for my area of vets. I remember back when I was in the military, we saw the protests about Vietnam. Remember, I served in 66, 67. That's when the Vietnam was building up. And there was a lot of hatred for the military. And I remember when I landed in Fort Lewis, Washington from Korea, we went to the airport and I saw two of my other buddies walk into the restrooms there, and they came out in their civilian clothes. And I looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Man, I don't want to get spit on." Because back then, if you were in military uniform, the public walking in the airport would spit on you and call you baby killers because of Vietnam.
Wow. And
so it was no longer a sense of pride that you served in the military. Mm-hmm. It was almost a little bit of a shame. And then, you know, through the years, people got to understand what was going on. It wasn't the GI's fault for fighting in the war. That was what was asked of us to do. And so my best suggestion is seeing, especially an old timer, thank them for their service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And any advice to people listening who may be contemplating serving the military?
I would say go for it. I mean, it is a 2 years, 3 years out of a hopefully 100-year life. And there's extremely a lot of valuable lessons to learn there. I mean, one of the things that I walked away from the military is I can do whatever I want. I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah. Is it because of the training? Is it because of what you went through? I mean, you figured if you could go through that, you could do anything.
Exactly. And if you go through that training, I mean, a lot of the night maneuvers and a lot of the hand-to-hand combat, I mean, you walk away feeling that, you know, you don't have to worry about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Last question. And one of the last questions is how is what you learned in terms of discipline beneficial to your everyday life today?
Well, it's been very beneficial, especially in my practice and my teaching. One of the things it taught me is to be organized. You can't be a flake and not follow orders or be disciplined and follow procedures and survive in the military. And that carried that with me into my civilian life after that. I'm very well organized. And I'll get calls from a client that we served 20 years ago, and he'd ask for some information about my job. And literally I call him back 15 minutes later because we have everything filed so succinctly that we can literally pull it up in a few minutes.
That's great.
And it's a lot of wasted time not wasted by being organized. And that really was a part of the military for me.
Yeah, that's a great message. Ben Tissue, any last words for our listeners here in Itcher Community before we let you go?
Thank you. And I thank especially today's service men and women that have served in all of our militaries. It's a big pat on the back for them for serving and helping this country stay strong.
Yeah. And if we can continue to thanking them, and hopefully more young men and women will consider serving our great country to continue protecting our freedoms in this country. Thank you so much, Ben Tissue, and congratulations on being named the 100th president of the National Veterans Organization, 2nd Indian Head Division Association. Thank you so much, Ben.
Thank you.
Any questions are great. Great to talk with you. Any questions or comments, show topics you want me to get to, you can get to me, Vanessa Denha, through Epiphany Communications, or you can private message me on Epiphany Communications on Facebook, or you can find me on Instagram and on LinkedIn, Vanessa Denha Garmo. As always, we remind you to connect, communicate, and to collaborate with your community. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time right here on It's Your Community.
It's Your Community. A public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.